1 John chapter number 2. Little Melvin came to his mama. He said, "Mama, got a question for you." "All right, Melvin, what's your question?" Melvin said, "Mama, I hear you and Daddy at night. And I hear you mumbling. And I hear you saying things. And I hear my name every once in a while. And I'm really wondering, what are you talking about at night? What are you saying at night?" And it's usually mom and dad after I go to bed. "What's going on at night?" Little Melvin's mom had a big wild smile on her face. Said, "Melvin, at night, after you go to bed and your dad and I are sleeping or getting ready to go to sleep, we're talking and we're having conversations. And then, Melvin, we're praying for you. We're praying for you to help you to become the young man that God wants you to be. We're praying that you have understanding and wisdom and know how to grow up to be the kind of young man God wants you to be. Because, Melvin, we love you. And there's things in life that are going to come along that we need to help you through. But you know what times, Melvin's going to be that you're not going to be with us. You're going to be out on your own. And mom and dad aren't always going to be with you everywhere you go and be doing everything that you're doing. We're praying that you understand and have wisdom to know how to live when you're not with us especially." Brothers and sisters, as your pastor, as your friend, as your fellow Christian, fellow pilgrim, my heart is that same way for you. See, it's not all about me being up here on the platform and preaching God's word and stomping and snorting and saying all these different things. My sincere desire that God has placed inside of me is that you would indeed grow stronger in the Lord than even I am. I want you to be able to walk this way for the Lord Jesus Christ and walk that way for the Lord Jesus Christ so that way you can stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Please don't ever use the argument, and I've told you this over and over and you know this, I don't ever want you to use the argument, "Well, my pastor says." I want you to say, "The Bible says." Here in 1 John, that's the sense that I get what John is sharing from his heart. See, we've been going verse by verse through 1 John, and it's taken a few weeks to get where we are right now. But when John wrote these words, when he spoke these things or wrote these things to be written down, he didn't say, "Okay, well, I'm going to write a few words today and the churches are going to read a few words." No, he wrote this as an epistle, as a letter to be read all at one time. And so sometimes, though, when you go verse by verse in expository preaching and you're going and trying to explain each verse, verse by verse, sometimes you lose the context of what's going on altogether. So what I want to do this morning is I want to do a short review and help us continue on here in chapter number 2. So we need to go back just a few verses to chapter number 1. Go back to chapter number 1 real quick. In verse number 4, we're going to start there. Of 1 John chapter number 1, he says this, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. He's trying to help the people to understand, listen, you are my children in the Lord, and I love you so much, and I want to lead you, and I want to guide you, and I want to direct you, but you got to understand, you're going to live life, and I'm not going to be there with you. He's a very old man by this time. Most scholars believe he's at least in his 80s, maybe in his early 90s. He wrote this before the book of Revelation, so he understands and realizes that his time on earth is not very much longer. And so as he's writing these words, he wants his spiritual children to understand, you're going to have to live your life without my presence. But you'll never live your life without the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how much longer I have on this earth, how much longer I have here. I don't know. God knows, and I want to be here and be your pastor for as long as God allows me to be. But there's going to be a time that I won't be here. There's going to be a time when you're out living life somewhere and you're not going to be able to call me up, or you're not going to be able to text me, and I'm not going to be able to help you. You're going to have to stand in the power and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Children, there's going to be times you're not going to be with your father and your mother. You're not going to be able to call them up. It's been 14 years since my dad died. I can't call him on the telephone anymore and ask him situations because he's dead. All I can do is take from what he taught me and apply it now if I can remember what it was. Brothers and sisters, you've got to be grounded and rooted in what God has clearly told you, because you are going to have to live your life every day living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what John is writing to these folks. He says, my little children, understand this. Sin is prevalent. Sin happens, but you don't have to live in sin any longer. And if you do sin, you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, and you'll be cleansed from all your sins. My little children. And then he goes on from there. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that sin you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for the whole world, not just a select group of people. He is the propitiation. He is the one that satisfied the wrath of God by dying on the cross for our sins, being buried, and rising again. Not just for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. That's what the Bible says. See, but here's the problem. There's a lot of teachers, a lot of people out there who say, no, Jesus just died for the elect. Jesus just died for this group of people. No, the Bible says for the sins of the whole world. Brothers and sisters, there's going to be a time when you're going to meet up with somebody and they're going to try to convince you that something is so. Do not say, well, my pastor said. No, you say, the Bible says. Okay. Verse number 3. And hereby, by this, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, matured, growing in it. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You claim to be a Christian. You claim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't expect perfection. He expects us to trust him and obey what his word clearly says. That's what he says. And I use the example of the football team. If a football player decides, you know what, the coach says to run this play, but I'm going to run that play, then guess what happens? It ends up in disaster. And the coach will yank him out of that ball game and put his rear end on the bench. You know what? You say you belong to Jesus Christ. Guess what? Walk and live like you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just here on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ every moment of every day. Don't live it here and live something else out there. Live it here and live it there. Example, I claim to be married. And most of you know my wife. How many of you know my wife? Just about every one of you. All right? So I'm here in church on a Sunday morning, and I wear my wedding ring, and everybody knows that I'm married. But then I decide tomorrow to take my wedding ring off and put it in my pocket and start flirting around and messing around like I shouldn't be doing. And they look for the ring, and they don't see the ring. What am I doing? I'm saying that I'm ashamed of my wife, and I don't want to let people know that I'm married. How many of you would call that a wicked thing to do? I don't do that. I wear this thing everywhere I go because I'm proud that I'm married. I belong to Melissa Schuler, and I'm proud of it. So if I'm going to claim that, I ought to walk it also. Amen? And all the wives said, let me try it again. All the wives said, and all the guys said, there we go. Hey, there you go, Fisher. If you claim it, walk it. All right, he continues on. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, verse 7, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the truth, true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness, and walks in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. So he's simply saying, you claim to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to love your brother. You're going to have a lookout for them. You're going to walk alongside them in their sin. They're going to walk alongside you in your sin. They're going to help you. They're going to love you. Remember, we talked about last week, if you find yourself in a situation where you cannot deal with life anymore, you find yourself in a situation where sin has overtaken you, reach out to the Lord and then reach out to a fellow brother, brother, sister, and walk in the Lord and grow in Him. You see a brother or sister who's stumbling. You see a brother and sister who's having problems. Reach out to them. Love on them. Help them to understand and realize that they're not alone. When you see a brother or sister who's struggling and you ignore them, that is not love. That is cruelty and it's hate. There's people all around us struggling and stumbling. Reach out to them and love them. Reach out to them and love them and help them. And that's what he's trying to help them. Now, all that's introduction. That's what we've been going over. Okay? Now, the new part here. John continues to write. He says this now. I write unto you, little children, babes in Christ, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. You're going to see three levels of spiritual maturity here now. He's speaking to little children. Now, he's not just speaking just to little children like the age of Fisher over here. He's speaking to little children spiritually, either brand new in Christ or in Christ, but they haven't grown very much. He says the basic thought is this, is that your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. If that's the most basic thing you understand, then that's a basic thing to understand. Believe this, brothers and sisters. Your sins are forgiven you through Jesus Christ only. You can't get your sins forgiven by getting baptized. You can't get your sins forgiven by coming to church. You can't get your sins forgiven by walking a good life. Your sins are only forgiven by Jesus Christ. And if you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven forever. That's a basic thing to understand. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have eternal life. That's basic to understanding things. So that's why he's addressing the little children, the babes, the immature folks. And it's okay to be there, but not to stay there. Look what he says next. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Verse 13. And I write unto you, fathers, those who are mature in the Lord, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, those who are middle, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. He's addressing three different spiritual letters. He says, there's the little children in Christ. I'm writing unto you, basic things. Those who you are in the middle, been walking with the Lord for a few years, you're growing and maturing. And then those of you who are really old, like Danny Childers, who know the Lord for years and years and years. He's writing on the three different spiritual levels. See, he's not just talking to the basic immature. He's not just talking the middle. He's talking to all three. And that's my goal as your pastor. My goal is to teach you at a basic level. My goal is to teach you at the mid level. And then for those who are really mature, who've been in the Lord for years. Brothers and sisters, I don't do what I do for notoriety. I don't do what I do so that you can lift me up and say, wow, he's a wonderful man. I do what I do so that you can know the Lord Jesus Christ and know him better and greater on a daily basis. I'm wanting you to understand the Word of God so that when you're walking in this life, that you know how to live the life because of what Jesus Christ is teaching you. John has a heart for the people. May I tell you, just like Melvin's mom and dad pray for him and love him, I pray for you and I love you. That's my desire to come across, and I hope that I come across that way towards you. Now, I want to introduce another man really quick who had the same desire and had the same kind of prayer request, but even more specific. I want you to go to the book of Ephesians real quick now. We're going to spend the rest of our time in the book of Ephesians. Find the book of Ephesians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 3. Now, there's the area of Ephesus. Paul is writing these words, and he was in prison at the time when he's writing these words on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's writing these words that they maybe go to the church and that they would read them. And all the people in that area would read these words and understand what Paul's heart was. Understand how Paul felt about them. If I haven't told you lately, I love you. I love you in the Lord. And that's what Paul's trying to portray to his folks. Here's what he says in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 1. He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto you the mystery, as I wrote aforetime in few words, wherein by when you read you may understand my knowledge is in the mystery of Christ. He just simply saying, listen, God has revealed these things to me, and I want to share them with you now. God has revealed these mysteries to me, and I want to reveal exactly what God is revealing to me. I don't want to hold anything back, Paul says. What I know and understand, I want you to know and understand. Brothers and sisters, that's how I am. I study and I pray and I say, okay, God, what can I simply share with these folks? And God reveals to me and shows me Scripture to share with you. I want you to understand it. Matter of fact, I want you to understand it better than I understand it. I want you to take the notes and I want you to underline. And then I want you to go and study it by yourself and I want you to even know more. Because guess what? If God is glorified, that's all that matters. As a teacher, as a pastor, my desire is that you grow in the Lord and that you would become even greater in knowledge and understanding of what He wants for His glory and His honor. So that's what his heart is saying here. Now go down to verse number 14. Go down to verse number 14 here of chapter number 3. Here's the specific prayer request that he has, but I have for you also. He says in verse 14, "For this cause, because of this, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And here's his first prayer request, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. He says, I pray that you'll be strengthened by the Holy Spirit's might inside of you. That these times of tribulation and these times of trouble and these times of bad things that are taking place, that you would find your strength in Christ. That you would be strengthened. How many of you remember Popeye? Who knows who Popeye is? I am what I am, he would say. And then he'd get himself in trouble, and Bluto would be beating him up pretty bad, and Olive Oil would be screaming, Popeye, Popeye! And he's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And then what would he find to get his strength back? Spinach. I think they did that just to make you eat vegetables, I think. I'm not sure. I love spinach, by the way. But he'd be weak, and he'd be weak, and he'd be screaming, and he's getting beat up. And all of a sudden, Olive Oil or someone would find some spinach, and they'd squeeze that can, and it'd fly up and go into his mouth. And then he'd get up and start beating everybody up. And Bluto and all of them would just be disappearing because he had the strength of the spinach. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be strengthened with spinach. I want you to be strengthened with the Holy Spirit in your inner man. I want you to be strengthened, understanding, and realize that when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and He is your strength. He is your peace. He is your wisdom. Brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you've got God Himself living inside of you. And I want you to live on that. Yes, I want you to text me, and I want you to call me, and I want you to email and say, hey, Brother Brian, what about this and what about that? Yes, I want to study the Bible with you. But brothers and sisters, there's going to be a time you're not going to be able to do that. I want you to be able to call upon God and say, oh God, I need the Holy Spirit to strengthen me. That's my prayer for you. Because I can't do it. It's got to be God doing it through the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer request. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother Brian. That means that we don't always need you. That means that you can't control us then. That means that we're individuals. Exactly right. Because what happens if I die today? Are you going to stop growing in the Lord? Are you going to cease walking with Him? I hope not. I hope that the Holy Spirit strengthens you to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for my children. I pray with them, and I'm so glad to have John back for the weekend. And we prayed on the weekdays before they go to school. We would do a devotion, and we would pray together so that one day when they're out, that they can live according to what the Holy Spirit tells them to do, because I fed them that way. That's what I want for you. And that's what you should want for everybody you influence too. Miss Reva, you're doing a class with ladies. And I know your desire is that they would walk in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Because that's the only strength he got. That's what Paul is desiring for his people. All right, look at the next thing that he writes. Not only to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Number two, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you're rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in, there's that L word again. John spoke about the very same thing. Love. That you're rooted and grounded in love. And when I think about that, now, fellas, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to give you a chance to win some brownie points right here, okay? All right, guys, here we go. Isaac, this should be easy for you. All right, how many of you remember the day you got married, guys? Some of you aren't raising your hands. You're in trouble. Brother Tim, raise your hand, Brother Tim. Raise your hand there, Brother Tim. All right? How many of you remember that day? How many of you remember having stars in your eyes and telling your wife that you loved her? All right? Some of you, okay. Some of you, okay. Some of you don't wonder about it no more. All right? Don't be like the fellow that said, his wife asked him, says, do you love me? He says, listen, I told you I loved you the day I married you. If it changes, I'll change. I'll tell you that. Don't do that. Okay? You remember that you said, I love you. You remember that. Paul says, listen, I want you to be grounded in the love that God has given to you from the moment that you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior. That love that God had for you has not changed. There's nothing that you've done to change it, either by what you've done or not done. There's nothing you can do to change that love. God's love is unchanging. It's unconditional. God loves you. Always. Always. And Paul says, I want you to be rooted and grounded in that. Sometimes our children wonder if we love them. Usually they wonder that when they've done something wrong or we've gotten on them about something or they're wondering in doubt and they're scared sometimes and their little lips tremble and they really want, sometimes they just need a hug. They need some, their mom and daddy just tell them, sweetheart, I love you. And it makes everything get better. Brothers and sisters, if you ever doubt if God loves you, ask Him. God, do you love me? Yes, He does. It will never change. And Paul says, I want you to be grounded in that. But then he says, not only that, he says, I want you to number in chapter 18, he says, that you may be able to comprehend and totally understand with all the saints the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of that. How deep is His love for us? Does God love you when you're yet sinning? How many of you think God loves you even though you've been sinning? How many of you think He loves you? How many of you think that God loves you even when you're nasty, dirty, and you've been rolling in the mud all day long? How many of you think God loves you when you're unlovable? Think about the depth. You know how much God loves you? He sent His very own Son to die for you. That's how much He loves you. Unchanging. And I want you to understand the love of God, how deep it is, how long it is. How long is God's love going to last? We're in church. You can say it. How long do you think God's going to last? Forever. We had the funeral for Miss Janetta Barker yesterday. And you imagine that when she closed her eyes Thursday morning for the very last time on this earth and she opened her eyes again, she saw the one who loved her face to face. And what a glorious time. And then I'm sure she was searching for her husband. And I'm sure she was searching for her family members that had gone on before. The love of God. Guess what? That very same love is here right now. The breadth of it. I love when it says, how far are our sins cast away? As far as the east is from the west. Never to meet again. Brothers and sisters, I want you to be so grounded and rooted in understanding the depth that you never doubt His love. But may I ask you a question this morning? Be honest, we're in church. How many of you have doubted His love at times? bunch of liars. Come on now. Let me ask again, how many of you ever doubted his love at times? Guess what? Even though we doubt it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. God's love. And then he says this, and I want you to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. I love that word filled. And we've learned about that over several times. The word filled means totally controlled by the Spirit of God living inside of you. How many of you want to live a life totally controlled by the Holy Spirit living inside of you? That's my prayer for you and my prayer for me. To totally be controlled, that every decision I make, every thought that I think, to be totally controlled. And how is that done? By meditating? By reading the latest bestseller? By watching Fox News or CNN News? How do we get totally controlled by the Holy Spirit? We get grounded in love. We have to understand and realize that the Holy Spirit resides inside of us. We pray, we read, and we love one another. And let ourselves be loved. That's Paul's prayer. And that's my prayer for you. That's what I want. So one day, as you're passing by my casket, and you see my body, I want you to remember that I prayed that these things would be for you in a greater way than I even understand. So that you can live this life for the Lord Jesus Christ, for His honor and His glory. That's my heart for you. That's my desire for you. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Amen. Amen. Miss Shirley, if you'll come, please, if you wouldn't mind. Let's all stand together. And they say, Brother Brian, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I know these things are true, but I'm struggling. There's some things in my life that I'm really having a hard time with. And I don't know what to do about them. Now, we've clearly gone over this the last few weeks, especially. But sometimes we need to be a reminder. Number one, repent. Make things right with the Lord. All right? Turn away from what you've been doing wrong and go and turn and do right. And then ask somebody to walk alongside you. Let us walk with you. Let us teach you. Let us help you walk in the Lord. You can't do it by yourself. You're not a failure. You're not a mess up. You're a normal human being who struggles. Let us love you and help you. You're not alone. You say, Brother Brian, I know that and I need that, and ask God to help you and He will do that. Number two, you may be sitting here saying, Brother Brian, I don't know Jesus is my Savior. I don't know what it's like to have forgiveness. I don't understand what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Brother Brian, I want that. Today's the day of salvation for you. Admit that you're a sinner to God. Ask God to forgive you of all your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. The Bible clearly says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's my prayer for you today. So how about it, brothers and sisters? Do you want to grow in Him? Do you want to be closer to Him? Obey what His Word says and don't walk alone today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, I know that this world is full of woe. And I know there's daily temptations, hourly temptations in all of our lives. But oh God, thank You that when we trust You as our Savior, when we call upon Jesus Christ to save us, that You come to reside inside us and You want us to live in Your strength and Your love. Help us, God, today to walk in that. Help us to grow and mature in that. Help us to realize that we are free and we're not condemned. Help us to live in that today. The struggle is real. But oh God, you're stronger than the struggle. I pray for the precious souls in this room, Father, that are not even having Jesus as their Savior. They're playing in a game and it is not true. Father, they need you right now. I pray that they would place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That they would ask you to forgive them. And they'd call upon Jesus to save them today. We love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need to do some business this morning, salvation, church membership, whatever the need is this morning, I invite you to come right now as Miss Shirley plays. We're open. We'll pray with you if you need that this morning. Won't you come today?